Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm now going to America. I'm going to speak to Jim Harold, and he's got a book called Campfire: True Ghost Stories. So what I want you to do is pretend you're around a campfire. I want you to put the lights down. I want you to light a candle. I want you to be quiet and listen. Hello, Jim.
Hello, how are you, Peter? So good to talk to you. I'm so glad to be on your radio program today.
What made you write this book?
I wanted to get the stories out there because they're such entertaining stories, and people, really, these stories stick with people because they have an impact on their lives. So I wanted to share that with the broader public, and that's how Jim Harold's Campfire True Ghost Stories came about.
Who is Jim Harold? Tell us.
Well, Jim Harold is an American. I live in the American Midwest. I've been podcasting for about 6 years and do a myriad of programs, the Campfire program, just normal people from all around the world telling their stories. Some of the best stories we've ever had have been from the UK. I have a great story. The first story in the book is a gentleman who, his mother-in-law was at the National Health in hospital. And she kept seeing this nurse in this old-time nurse's garb. And she even came up and said, "Would you like a spot of tea?" And then she asked later on one of the other employees, she said, is there a nurse who dresses up like in an old-time nurse's costume with the hat and everything?" And she said, "Oh, no, not a member of the regular staff. You've met Flo, our resident ghost." So, so those are the kind of stories I love to share with people, and that's why I'm so happy I'm doing the book.
What's your beliefs? What do you believe is on the other side? What do you believe happens when we die? What's your beliefs?
Well, I believe that there is, I'm of the Christian faith, so I tend to believe the heaven and hell idea, but I'm not closed to other ideas. In terms of the paranormal, I have this belief. I believe there is definitely something out there. Now, maybe 90% of what is passed for paranormal is not really paranormal. It's something totally explicable, or maybe some people with issues, or maybe yet other people who are unfortunately hoaxing. But I think there's just enough percentage that there's something out there. But I'd be the last one to say that I have all the answers, because the thing is when I started this 6 years ago, I thought, this will be great. I'll do this for 6 months, and I'll have all the answers. And the truth is, I have more questions now than when I started. But I've talked to enough people, and just everyday genuine people, and they're featured in the book, that have had something strange happen to them, that I believe there is something going on, probably from the other side, maybe.
Now, there's one story in your book that we can't even go near, because as soon as I see the word Ouija board, I remember what happened to me, because we were going to actually have a Ouija board live on air, and my boss came in and took it off me. Actually, took it off and broke it up live on air. You've got a story about the Ouija board, haven't you?
Yes, there's a great story. I call it the spookiest story in the book. It's about a young lady who, as so many teenagers, get a Ouija board and they have a little party with a friend and they call up incantations and try to see what they'll find. But this particular person, and I hate to spoil the story, but she saw a vision, a very spooky vision that you would not want to see. And she said that ever since, she's never touched a Ouija board, and I don't blame her. And actually, listening to people on this show, I had a Ouija board, or my wife had a Ouija board, and I think we played around with it a couple times. Now I won't touch it. I won't touch it because I think you're opening, I think your boss, I don't know if breaking it up on the air was the right reaction, but I could understand him being afraid, because maybe you would have ended up with a haunted radio station.
Well, we are supposed to be built on a graveyard of bodies that died in the plague, if that's any help.
Well, I got to say, that's the great thing about the UK and Europe in general. Now, we have stories from the UK in the book, from Norway, from Germany. You know, in the States, if something's a couple hundred years old, that we consider it to be ancient. But you all have such a great legacy of history and old buildings and things like you speak of, burial grounds and so forth. So to me, if there's more history, that means there's probably More girls. Mm.
Jim, I mean this question really seriously. It's not making light of anything, but I'm just curious about what your thoughts are on this. Do you think that with a book like this, where you write stories, do you think that the afterworld, the other world, the spirit world, could actually get quite irritated that maybe these books, not just your book, but other books, are being brought out? Do you think maybe they might think they're being mocked?
No, I wouldn't think so, because first of all, the stories are, there are a few stories in there that are my personal experiences. Let me pull back from that a minute. I think some of the, particularly in the States, some of the ghost hunting shows and things we see verge on mocking. For example, when you, quote, call the spirits out, you're a spirit, you know, you see these, quote, ghost hunters who come on television and say, come on, you're a ghost. Come out if you're there anywhere. I think that kind of thing actually does border on mocking. But I think what we try to do, and I interview a lot of authors, and I think in most cases, it's to be very respectful. These are just the people in my book. There are about 73 stories in the book, and the people featured in the book are normal people, for the most part, who have had normal experiences. Now, we've had a couple of people who went out, and I've had a couple of people on the show who say, you know, I went out and I called out the ghost, and that frankly kind of annoys me. You know, kind of getting rough with the ghosts. I think that's kind of silly, but I think we treat it respectfully, and I don't think anybody on the other side would think that. I hope not, or else I'd sleep with one eye open all the time.
It's interesting that you've got a master's degree in communication, and we're always talking about communicating with the other side.
Yes. The funny thing is that I've always been fascinated with the paranormal. And 6 years ago, you know, I decided to start podcasting. And what happened was, is much like, you know, I wanted to do what you're doing. I'd always wanted to be a broadcaster. I'd gone to school for it. I got my undergraduate in that and then went on for a master's degree. And I planned to be a broadcaster. And I ended up getting on the business side of media and as my day job, and was always frustrated. I had this inner broadcaster, and the power of the internet and so forth gave me the opportunity to start podcasting and become, you know, fairly successful at it. And I think, you know, you bring all of those things to bear, but I think that even academia cannot answer this question, the question of how to communicate to the other side. Do I think there's something going on? Absolutely. Do I know how to reach them? Am I expert in talking to them? I would say no. People will call me or write me for advice, you know, advice and contacting the other side. And I'm just a questioner. That's, you know, I guess my goal would be to kind of be to use one of your great celebrities. I'd love to be the David Frost of the paranormal.
Jim, why do you think the world has exploded over the obsession for the other side and the paranormal?
Well, I think it's a few things. I think one thing is popular media, television, movies, and those kind of things. I think the more of it that's come out, and as people's beliefs change or morph or become maybe a little less provincial, that they're more open to the idea. And I think when you look at something like the paranormal, Peter, it really is something that it tackles the main questions that we all face. I mean, even if we're atheists, for example, I think in those quiet hours, we might ask ourselves, is there a God? You know, even if we're in the prime of health, we may ask ourselves the question that you asked earlier, what happens when I die? And when you look out the window at nature, even if you don't believe in things like the creation, you wonder, did anybody create this? And I think the paranormal is the one subject area that ties into all of those things. And there's such a broad umbrella of paranormal activity, UFOs, ghosts, premonitions, cryptozoology, so forth and so on. It's very broad, so it's a big tent. So I think that it's only going to grow in interest. And people say to me, well, Jim, you were really smart 6 years ago when you picked up on this and started doing a show on this because it's all the rage. And the truth is that had nothing to do with it. It's something I personally have been fascinated with since I was a small child, the old American series In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. I used to love that as a child. It's something that's fascinated me since I could remember. And I think that most people, if they admit it, they do have a fascination, even if they don't want to admit it.
I'm talking to Jim Harold, who's got a book out called Campfire, The True Ghost Stories. What's your views on UFOs?
Well, I think it kind of plays into my general theory of the paranormal. I think that probably a large majority of things are totally explicable. But I think when you look at, I'll mention another book, Leslie Kane's excellent UFOs on the Record book, which focuses on military people and pilots and so forth that have seen these things and know how fixed-wing aircraft act, even you know, military ones. And when they say that there's something in the skies that we can't explain, I tend to believe them. Does that mean that, you know, I believe 100% of the UFO stories? Absolutely not. In fact, again, the vast majority are probably totally explicable. But I do believe there's something in our skies that we don't understand. And I do think one phenomenon that is incredibly interesting is the phenomena where UFOs have often been seen around military bases. You know, in the United States, actually, there have been ICBM installations that have gone offline, and that has correlated to UFO sightings around those bases. I think that's A, frightening, and B, very compelling. And, of course, in Britain, you have one of the greatest UFO stories of all time, the Rendlesham Forest story. And that's why I felt in this book it was important to include some UFO stories. We have a UFO story from Germany that is kind of a UFO story, and a few other select UFO stories in the book, including one from my own father. So we thought it was important to at least visit the idea of UFOs, because I think that the evidence can be pretty compelling.
Putting the book together, was it difficult to drop stories?
Yes. In fact, I'd say I probably have enough for two or three books. It was what I basically did, the only way I could do it, because there's so many, it's like asking somebody which one's your favorite child, was to basically go in chronological order and say, from these episodes, I'm going to pick a certain amount, which it worked out great, because if this is successful and a lot of people pick it up, then there'll be a Campfire 2 and a Campfire 3, hopefully.
What do you want them to take from this book? Do you want pure entertainment? Do you want to frighten people? What do you want? Or do you want them to think?
I think entertain and think, and maybe a little bit of frighten in the process. I mean, there are not a lot of blood and guts stories in this. That's not the idea. To me, some of the most frightening movies ever made, for example, were those of Hitchcock, because he used your mind to make you think about things and didn't necessarily show you the knife, unless it was Psycho. You know, he used your mind to make you think about things and maybe put a little fright into you that way. I would hope that this book would do that in some places. But I also really hope it makes people think about the mysteries of life, because I think there's a whole lot there to ponder.
Tell me, how can they find you?
At jimharold.com. That's JIMHAROLD.com. And they can also find the book at amazon.co.uk.
Jim, I look forward to speaking to you on Campfire Stories, the Ghost Stories, Part 2. Part 3, Part 4, and Part 5. Jim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.